When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I am today's host, Simon Brooks, once again standing in for the remarkable Rachel Ann Harding. I have some stories for you, good stories. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. When Mo and I were out on the trail today, we saw a plethora of many different types of mushrooms. Some appeared to be sorrels, other boletes. We saw chanterelles, and there was a number of parasol mushrooms, even a troop of fly agarics. As we were coming off the hill, striding alongside the stream, water bouncing over and around the rocks, one cluster of mushrooms caught Mo's attention. She stopped, with her tail flagged, ears pricked, and head turned to one side. She made a little jump and, with her hindquarters raised, leapt down to the ground on her front legs. She normally does this when she wants to play with another dog or with the wee folk, but she was now nose to nose with a dark, cup-type mushroom. As I looked closer, the petals of the plant, for want of a better word, began to flutter and move. The cones began to open more and quivered. The first of today's... Oh, no, there is no first of today's. There's only going to be one storyteller today, with only one story. Why only one storyteller with only one story? Because it's so good! And it's longer than the other ones that Rachel Ann normally has on her show. This story is called Merrywise and the King's Well. It's an Appalachian story, or retelling of a story, by Adam Booth, whose voice will soothe and excite you. Please welcome Adam Booth and his story, Merrywise and the King's Well, Part 1, Journey Through the Woods.
Once there were three brothers. The oldest was named Tom, the middle was named Will, and both Tom and Will thought themselves a little older than they were. Their youngest brother was named Merrywise, and he was the most curious and carefree of the bunch. Well, their home was near a forest, and just on the other side of the forest was the king's castle, and soon word spread that the king's well had gone dry, and he was issuing a proclamation for men of all the countryside to come to dig a new well. When Tom and Will heard that, they decided that they would be the two to go and dig that new well for the king, and when Merrywise heard that his older brothers were going to go, he began to beg and plead, "Take me with you, please. I want to go. I want to see. I want to help out." And Tom and Will said, "No, Merrywise, you're too small. You're too young, too little. You can't go with us." But Merrywise kept at it, knowing that if he asked enough, he could probably wear down his older brothers. Maybe you know someone like that, too. Well, finally, Tom and Will said, "Okay, Merrywise, you can come with us, as long as you don't hold us back. You're always looking at other things and daydreaming, and we got to get to the king's to help him out." Merrywise said, "Thank you. I promise I won't hold you back." It was the next day when they set off on their journey through that forest. And not long after they had gotten into the woods, following that path, Tom and Will had gotten a little bit ahead. Merrywise was looking at things this-a-way and that-a-way, when all of a sudden, something flew right past his face. He looked over and saw that it was an axe stuck in a tree right on the side of the path. He went to reach for that axe, and it pulled itself out and flew back in the other direction. He waited just a thought when, here it come again. That axe was chopping down the tree all by itself. "Brothers," he said, "brothers, look at this." But do you think they stopped to look? No, they kept going. Merrywise saw that axe, and he thought, "I could use an axe like that." Wouldn't you think that? And so the next time it flew right by his face, he reached up and grabbed it by the handle. He took off the blade from the handle and put both pieces into a bag that he had brought along with him on the journey. He ran to catch up with his older brothers, and they turned back and said, "Now, what was it, Merrywise? What'd you see back there?" And Merrywise said, nothing. "Now, we told you, Merrywise, stop getting distracted by things. We got to get to the king's." They kept walking, and before long, they had gotten ahead of Merrywise a little more. Merrywise was just looking this way and that way when something else happened. Right there in front of his face came falling a pile of dirt, phoom, right on the ground. He stopped to look at it when another one came, phoom, and another one, phoom. "Brothers," he said, "look at this. Don't you want to see what's happening?" And of course, they didn't stop to see. They kept going. But Merrywise stepped just off the path into the woods to see where that dirt was coming from. And there he saw a shovel that was digging a hole all by itself, throwing loads of dirt over there on the path. And he thought, "Ooh, I could use a shovel like that." Wouldn't you think that too? The next time it came up to dig another part of the hole, he grabbed onto the shovel and took the pan of the shovel off of the handle and put both parts there into his bag. He ran back to the path and caught up with his brothers. "I'm back, brothers." And they said, "Well, what did you see back there, Merrywise?" And he said, "Oh, nothing," with a grin. "We told you, Merrywise, now stop getting distracted." Well, it wasn't too much longer after that that Tom and Will had gotten ahead of Merrywise, and Merrywise noticed something strange. Right there in front of his face, down came water, like a waterfall pouring right in front of his face. "Brothers," he said, "look at this. Have you ever seen anything so strange?" And they didn't turn back to see. Merrywise, he stepped off the path into the woods and saw that that water was spewing in a great big arc, coming right off of the ground. No, it wasn't off the ground. It was coming out of a nut that was laying on the ground, an acorn. There was a hole in it, and the water was just spewing forth, and he thought, "Oh, I could use a nut like that." Wouldn't you have thought that, too? He reached down and took some moss off of a root of a tree and plugged up that hole where the water was spewing forth, put the nut into his bag, and ran to catch up with his brothers. And when he got back with them, they said, "Now, Merrywise, what'd you find back there?" And he said, "Oh, nothing." Before long, they were out of that forest. They had made their way to the king's castle, where a great group of men had gathered all around. The king stood right there before him and said, "I have called you together here so that one of you might dig a new well for me. Why, if there's a man among this crowd who could dig a well that would provide everlasting water, I would give that man a bag of gold and half of my kingdom." Well, the men heard that, and they tumbled over each other to try to dig a new well for the king. The king put up his hands. He said, "But if you try and can't find everlasting water, why, I'll cut off your ears." Well, that didn't stop the men. They wanted the bag of gold. They wanted half of the kingdom. And so the king took out a shovel and gave it to the first man, who dug and dug and dug a deep hole, but found no water. Shoo! Shoo! Off came that man's ears. The next man tried and dug and dug and dug, and shoo! Shoo! Off came his ears too. And the same thing happened for every one of the men there in that crowd until it was time for Tom to try. Now Tom thought himself a little bit bigger than he was, and so he stepped up and took that shovel and dug for half of the day. But when half the day was over, there was no water to be found, and poor Tom got his shoo! Ears cut off. Will took his turn. He dug and he dug, and he also ended up with the same fate.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Cinderella's Kin Janitorial Services. Need help cleaning up a mess that someone else left behind? Fed up with sweeping away dragon's ashes? Pots and magical kettles not working properly due to dirt buildup? Then Cinderella's Kin Janitorial Services is for you. Just a song away, with staff trained by experienced and very successful mentor, former scullery maid, now princess, Cinderella's Kin will fly to your home, castle or palace, be it made of gold or glass. From Crow's Nest Castle Tower to damp dungeons. So fast you would think the team wore wings. So thorough into getting into cracks and crevices, you might imagine Cinderella's workforce were ants or mice. You'll never need to clean your own pad again. Tap three times and call out for Cinderella's Kin Janitorial Service, and you will be contacted before seven beats of a bird's wing. Special rates apply to hovels. Please contact CKJ for full details. Some restrictions apply, and extra awful messes may require additional fees. Cinderella's Kin Janitorial Service. They work hard, so you don't have to. For listeners in and around Colorado, this episode is also brought to you by the 30th anniversary of the Rocky Mountain Storytelling Festival. This happens on September the 22nd of 2018. The day-long festival is in the Lone Tree Library, and the theme this year is storytelling, the original social media, featuring storytellers John Stansfield, Dot Anderson, Robbie Knight, and Rachel Ann Harding, your usual intrepid host. It will be a full day of great performances. Don't miss the free family concert featuring all the tellers at 3 o'clock. For more information and to get your tickets for the day, visit rmstory.org, rmstory.org, and come and enjoy live storytelling. If you think this recorded stuff is good, you wait until you see it live. It's amazing. I crept up next to Mo and crouched down. Suddenly the mushrooms stretched and bent, some straightened, and then the most beautiful sound came from them. The mushrooms were playing a tune. It is hard to describe what I heard. It was a round, large sound, but soft and quiet, a sort of yellow sound with a touch of blue and red. I heard something behind me, near the stream, and moving as slowly as I could, I saw tiny little creatures pulling themselves from the soft earth on the bank of the stream. Ponderous, like the music, they began to dance with light steps. Feeling a little like intruders, I gently whispered into Mo's ear, and we left, with these wonderful images in our mind of the wonders of this enchanted place. Any second now, we're going to get back to the rest of the adventure of Merrywise. Adam Booth is a very smart cookie. He's done a lot of research with his stories, which is really, really cool. And he's performed all over the place and won numerous awards. So without further ado, here is Merrywise and the King's Well, Part 2. The Well and the Giant. Oh, by the way, there's no giant in the Scandinavian version, so this will make a nice little treat, a nice little surprise. Anyway, enough of me. Back to Adam Booth and Merrywise, Part 2, The Well and the Giant.
Everyone had tried at this point except for Merrywise, who stepped forward and said, "King, I think I could dig a well for you, and I think I could find that everlasting water." Everybody laughed. "Merrywise, you can't do that. You're the smallest one here. You're too carefree. You're the youngest of the crowd." The king said, "No, he gets a chance like everybody else. Here, Merrywise, take the shovel." Merrywise said, "Actually, King, I brought my own, and I'm going to dig a hole over here for the well, but I'm going to ask that everybody turns away and walks in that direction, so I might have some privacy." Well, the king clapped his hands, and everybody turned to walk in that direction, and Merrywise opened up his bag. He took out the handle of the shovel and the pan of the shovel, and as soon as he put one into the other, whoosh, 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 it began digging a hole all around him, whoosh, 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 throwing shovels full of dirt in the other direction. Whoosh, whoosh. It dug and dug, and Merrywise fell down into that hole laughing. And when he got down so deep that he couldn't see everybody else, he grabbed onto the shovel and took it apart. He reached back into that bag and took out the acorn and plucked that little piece of moss out of the acorn side, and whoosh, out came all that water, spewing forth. It would never end. So much water that it lifted him right back up so he could step out of that hole. "Oh, King, come back. I've dug the well for you." And the king came back, leading all the men, and they saw that indeed Merrywise had dug a well with everlasting water. "Merrywise, you did it," said the king. "I give you a bag of gold and half of my kingdom. "Hear, hear, for merry wise!" And all the men said, "Huh? What? What'd you say?" Well, after that, they all went back home, which meant that Merrywise went into the castle, since half of that belonged to him now. The next morning, Merrywise was having breakfast with the king, when he said, "Hey, king, do you have any more work around here that needs to be done? I'm pretty good at figuring things out." And the king said, "Why, actually, yes. Merrywise, on the other side of my castle, there's another forest, full of hardwoods, my royal hardwoods, the finest trees in all of the land. But there is a giant who lives in that forest who's knocking down those trees. Why, if someone could get rid of that giant from the forest, I would give that man a bag of gold and half of my kingdom." Well, that sounded like a good deal to Merrywise, so he said, "King, I'll give it a shot." And he set off right after breakfast to go try it out. He made his way into the woods looking for that giant, and it didn't take him long to find that giant either. He could hear that giant making a sound like this. He made his way closer to that sound coming through the bushes, and he saw there was the giant, leaned over, running as fast as he could into trees, knocking his head right into the sides of their trunks. Now, this was a real giant, not a fairy tale giant. This giant was about 7 feet tall, with broad shoulders, long arms, big feet, and big hands, and a teeny tiny little head on top of his shoulders. Inside of that head, even teenier, tinier brains. Merrywise knew that he could trick that giant. "Ho, ho there, giant, what are you doing here?" And the giant said, "I'm knocking these trees down. What are you doing here, boy?" And Merrywise said, "Oh, I'm no boy. I'm a giant, too. And you know what? There's only room for one giant in this forest here, which I think means you need to leave, since I'm a bigger giant than you are." Well, that puzzled that giant and his tiny little brains. He scratched his little head and finally said, "Well, you don't look like a bigger giant than I am." Merrywise said, "Well, I am, and I can prove it to you. I bet you I can knock down more trees in an hour than you can, since I'm the bigger giant." And the giant said, "Deal." And he hunched back over and started knocking those trees down with his head. And Merrywise snuck off to another part of the woods. When he got there, he opened up his bag, and you know what he took out next? The blade and the handle of that axe. And no sooner had he put them together than it began chopping down a tree. And when that tree fell over, it started knocking down the next one. And the next, and the next, and the next. And Merrywise just watched and laughed as it all happened. Well, after an hour had passed, boom, 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 here came the giant. In his hands, he had 10 tree trunks. He was so big, "I knocked down 10 trees, little boy." And Merrywise said, "Oh, is that all? I knocked down 100 trees. And he pointed to his pile of trees there. Well, the giant looked at those trees and knew he had been beaten. "I guess you are a bigger giant than I am." Merrywise said, "That's right, which means you need to leave this forest," which is what happened. Then Merrywise made his way back to the king's castle. "Oh, king, I got rid of that giant for you." And the king couldn't believe it, so he sent some of his scouts out to survey the forest to see if that giant was still there. And when they returned, they said, "Your Highness, it is as Merrywise says, the giant is gone." Which meant that the king gave Merrywise another bag of gold and another half of the kingdom. And Merrywise knew enough math to know that now the whole kingdom belonged to him. "So, king, I think that means you need to move out of this castle." "Well, where will I go?" said the king. And Merrywise said, "I think there's an abandoned giant's house in the forest over that way that would be pretty nice for you." And that's where the king moved. And Merrywise, he became a prince and began to rule over all of the land.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story podcast. Show the love and find today's storytellers on the internet and tell them that you heard them on the podcast and now you want to hear them tell more stories. You can find Rachel Ann Harding and the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at StoryStoryPodcast or RachelAnnHarding.com. Me, you can find me out there too at SimonBrooksStoryteller.com. The inspiration behind the true fairy tale was, well, mine and Mo's. You can find Rachel's amazing work on her website and, of course, on this podcast. The fairy tale sponsor came from the beautiful mind of Janelle Reardon. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors and let Rachel know a favourite story you have heard recently or some of the favourite stories of your childhood. Maybe you will hear them here soon. I hope you don't mind me standing in again, but Miss Harding was moving from the city into a small cottage in the Enchanted Forest. She's had a few elves and bears to help move in, but there are still a couple of boxes unpacked. If you would like to become a supporter of the podcast for as little as $4 a month, you can find the links on StoryStoryPodcast.com and hear me or Rachel read your name and thank your beautiful face for the world to hear. If it isn't in the cards to support the podcast right now, no worries. Perhaps you would be willing to go write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. Rachel would love that. Anyway, head over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies. And if you tune in, you'll hear more stories. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there, on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music